Church when the children, the young people sing, and I've known folks to do that, and what a tragedy. We need to make a big investment in our young people, because they're our future.
Amen.
One of them young men will be up here one day, possibly. Amen. We want to thank God for Bobby on the drums. Amen. I have a number for a piano teacher. So round them up, get the list together. We want to have a couple of our young people learn to play the piano. So I'm going to contact this gentleman. He wants to come out and teach. So that should be happening in the very near future. One other thing I missed with my pastoral remarks. For those in clergy, and that's all of us, okay? I need a number of people who want to go to St. Eve's. There's a pass that they give us. It's a clergy pass. And it allows you to park free in the parking deck when we go and visit. And I know the deacons should have one. Okay? Trustees, all those in leadership. Parking can be tight and it's expensive if someone is in there all week. So anyone interested, see me after church, just put a number together and I can call Dana at St. Eve's and she will have a small class, just I think 15, 20 minutes, or she may just give me a number and just give me the passes. But those, and they're good for like 8 years. Okay? So if you're interested in that, let me know. We really need to spend more time in our hospital ministries and visiting those that are sick and shut in. Deacon Napier talked to me a couple weeks ago about the monthly communion service, or going out to visit and to serve communion. So if anyone's on that list, we know anyone that needs communion, I believe we're going to start that up in May. So see Deacon Nate Peer, and we're going to go out and do communion to our sick and shut in. Or even if we have people in the nursing homes and different things like that. So, okay? Amen. It's good to see sister and my stepmother here. Amen. Sister dancing and rocking and enjoying herself in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue in the book of Mark. We're in number 6 of this 7-part series. We're in Mark chapter 15. Amen. And we're going to look at verses 26 through 39. Verses 26 through 39 of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Amen. If we have it, let us stand in honor of God's holy word. Mark 15, the book of Mark. We're going to start at verse number 26. Amen. 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 And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Amen. And when the centurion, which stood against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you thanking you for your word, thanking you for Passion Week, thanking you for sending your only begotten Son to this cursed and sinful world to die on a rugged cross for our sins. Father God, we ask right now that you would just fill this preacher with your word today so that he can fill your people with the word of God. Father God, we ask that you would just bless everything that's said and done throughout this service. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 39 says, and when the centurion, a captain of 100 soldiers, a trained man. This was a huge occasion. There's possibly 2 million visitors in Jerusalem at this time. So this would be sort of like the very best executioner assigned to this post. Nothing could go wrong. Pilate has set it up. Nothing could go wrong. So he sent the very best he had. And it says, and when the centurion, and I like to say when the very best centurion of all, the best captain among all the ranks, which stood against him. And he says, stood against him, watching him, just watching everything that's going on. That was his job, to make sure everything was done right. And he saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. I just want to talk this morning on what convinced the centurion. What convinced him that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God? We pick it up the last 6 weeks. We talked about Mary, her alabaster box, preparing Jesus for this day. We talked about Peter's 3 denials. We talked about the prayer in Gethsemane where he prayed for strength to do this. And I believe this is one of the things that the centurion seen. He seen the strength that Jesus had when he was cursed and mocked. Then we talked last week we talked about how they mocked him and how they ridiculed him and how they humiliated him, how they scourged him, how they beat him beyond recognition. And he never said a word. So today we're going to look at what did this centurion soldier see that convinced him that Jesus Christ truly was the Son of God. First thing we see is in verse 26. We see the superscription of his accusation was written over him. The King of the Jews. John's gospel says that the religious rulers came to him and said, don't write that he was the King of the Jews. Write that he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate, the Roman governor, said, what I have written, I have written. And I believe this centurion knew Pilate as a serious man. You can't be a Roman governor and be frivolous and flaky and jive. He was serious. He was serious about the business of being a governor. So when this Roman centurion looked at this, he said, the superscription says he was the King of the Jews. Now, if someone says that they're a pastor, you look for pastoral traits. If someone says, I'm a deacon at the church, you look for the traits of a deacon. If a woman says, I'm a deaconess at the church, you look for a woman who has the characteristics of a deaconess. If someone says that I'm a man of God, a Christian, you look for the characteristics of a Christian.
Amen.
And believe me, the world know what they ought to be looking for. And they know what they ought to be seeing. And I always say, once you become a deacon or a pastor, drop your first name. You got a new name. It's deacon. It's pastor. And it's not just on Sundays and on Wednesdays and at funerals. So, amen. Amen. So the superscription, this was a plaque. This was a plaque that they put over him. And in John's gospel, they say they wrote it in Latin, Greek, and in Hebrew. Pilate wanted to make sure that everyone knew. But more than that, God was letting the whole world know that he died for everybody. He just didn't die for black folks. He just didn't die for white folks. He died for everybody. He didn't die for young folks. He or just old folks. He died for all of our sins. He died for all of our sins. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 real quickly. Because I believe we sometimes forget why Jesus died. Romans 5. I know, so I know I flip fast and I talk fast. If you can write it down and read it later. I'm just going to read it right out of the text because this is one of those scriptures that explains itself. We want to talk about why Christ died. Romans 5 verse 6. This one says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." If you're in here and you're saved, at one time you was ungodly. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. And Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, "I think it's a good idea to get saved." He didn't say that. He said, "You must be born again." He didn't say it was a good idea to be born again. He said, "You must be born again." Look at verse 7. For a righteous man will one die. Now, we hear stories of folks jumping in front of bullets and jumping on hand grenades and all that. But those stories are scarce. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? The wrath through him." Folks, there's a wrath coming. Okay? There's a wrath coming. And we need to be justified. When God looks at us, when that day comes, when God looks at us, he ought to see someone who has been justified. Someone that has been bought with a price. Someone who has been born again, for lack of a better word. They ought to see Jesus Christ. God wants to see his son in us. He wants to see his son in us. So when we read that superscription that his, of his accusation that was written above him, how he was scourged. This centurion seen it. He seen him scourged. He seen him beaten. Sister Allen was talking this morning about all the things in the resurrection basket. He seen the spear drove through his side. He seen the crown of thorns put on his head. And guess what? He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. And listen, and the chief priests continued to mock him. The religious folks. These were the religious rulers of that day, and they continued to mock him. And guess what? There was two thieves on the cross. And the two thieves on the cross is a picture of everyone that you will ever meet. Because everyone you ever will meet will be either on the right side of Christ or the left side of Christ. When you see the cross, you either on one side or the other. Okay? That's what the cross stands for. Folks, there's all different meanings for it. But you either on one side or the other.
You have to be. And then you have to ask yourself, what side am I on? Listen what it says. With their dying breaths. Folks say, well, you know, I got time. I'm going to wait until, you know, I'm a party and live my good life. And I'm a party. And when I get on my dying bed, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. God don't want your garbage. God don't want your garbage. You thinking like that? This is the only deathbed. This is the only deathbed experience in the Bible. Look around. You won't find it. It's rare that anyone come to the Lord in their dying breaths. I know that's hard to understand and hard to believe. You know, I know we watch the movies and folks get shot and then somebody come and do all this and they say they're okay. But that's not biblical. It's not biblical to wait. The Word of God say, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because see, folks, when you run into a building on a motorcycle going 100 miles an hour, it's hard to imagine crying out to the Lord. And I know some of us believe in purgatory and all that. And I don't find that in the Bible neither. Listen what these listen to these thieves. It says, and with them, and with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And these two, even with their dying breath, they was mocking our Lord and Savior. Mocking him. Mocking him. So this centurion's watching all this going on. And then the second thing he's seen, it starts in verse number 31. This is interesting. We talk about what convinced the centurion. And then in verse 31, he says, likewise, also the chief priest, he was a big shot. The chief priest mocking said among themselves, with the scribes, these are lawyers, these are the attorneys of that day, the legal representations of the Jewish religion. And he said, they said to themselves, he saved others.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah.
I believe some of them others was at the cross. I believe this centurion probably looked over there and seen there was a centurion named, I believe, Jairus, whose daughter was raised from the dead. I believe Lazarus would have been there. I believe Blind Bartimaeus would have been there. I believe the woman with the issue of blood would have been there. I believe one of them lepers that turned back would have been there. I believe there was a whole lot of people that Jesus saved and healed because he healed everyone. The Bible says he went and healed everyone. He wasn't like what we see today where you need a car. Okay, and you got to pay a price to come to a healing revival. Jesus didn't charge you to come to a healing revival. He didn't announce he was having a healing revival. He just went from town to town and he healed. Most of the folks that he healed, he said, don't say anything. But he saved others. They said, himself, he cannot save. That's right, he cannot save himself because he didn't come here to save himself. Luke 19:10 said the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Bible says he came to die. He came to die for our sins. So if he would have saved himself, we would have been the most miserable. We would have been lost in our sins. So he didn't come to save himself. So they was lying. See, Satan sometimes wants to put these lies out there. Satan's job was to keep Jesus from the cross. He didn't want to see him get to the cross. So it says in verse 31, likewise also the chief priest mocking said among themselves with the scribe, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Listen to verse 32. And watch what happens in verse 33, because this is God saying enough. God will say enough to some of us. Okay? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, many in the church were sick and have fallen asleep. Why? Because they have refused to serve God like God had asked them to do. See, everybody that's getting sick in the church, maybe getting sick because they're not really in the church. This is what he says in verse 32. Let Christ the King. This is just mocking the Lord. And these are the religious rulers of that day. This is what he says in verse 32. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross. Come down. That's devil talk. That's devil talk, because he had all power. He could have came down. He didn't have to stay on the cross. He stayed on the cross for us. It was the love of God that kept him on the cross. Listen to what he says. He said, let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross. You could hear the hiss of the serpent. That we may see and believe. Listen, folks. You want to know a real true blessing? Remember the story of Doubting Thomas? Jesus had showed up. He had showed up among the apostles, but for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there. Okay? So, Thomas said, unless I see with my eyes, unless I put my hands in the hole in his side, unless I feel the holes in his hands, I will not believe. And Jesus showed up 8 days later. The Bible says he showed up 8 days later and told Thomas, here I am. And Thomas was able to do all that. But Jesus had some harsh words for Thomas and for us. He said, blessed are those that believe who have not seen. See, we all take that word blessed and we just mess it up. The greatest blessings of all, Psalm 32:1 says, blessed are those whose sins have been forgiven. Okay? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, we think blessings is cars and clothes and houses and gift cards. He says, blessed are those that have not seen and believe. Most of us ain't seen what Thomas said. We haven't seen what this centurion seen. But we still have to believe, for Bible says, for without faith, no man can what? Please the Lord. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Listen, he said, let the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. He had done miracles all throughout Jerusalem. And he said, a sinful, a godless, evil generation seek after a sign. And we have a sign-seeking world we live in today. This, the word of God is not enough. You got to show me a sign, show me a miracle, jump off a roof or something. Anything. Bless me, bless me, bless me. This is what he says. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And then verse 33, God said, that's just enough. I've had enough. He said, I've had enough. Can you imagine uttering these words out of your mouth? Uttering these words out of your mouth and then all of a sudden, lights out. Lights out. Jesus, God said, lights out. And here's what the centurion seen. Lights out, verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come. When the sixth hour was come, this is high noon. Yeah. High noon. This is just as bright as it is outside today. It's right now, it's 12:30. Yeah. It's high noon in Jerusalem. And it says that when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of total darkness. Listen, folks. And I've listened to some of his fathers say, well, they lit torches. Listen, folks, you don't carry torches around at high noon. Okay? It was pitch dark. It was thick. It was that Genesis Pharaoh type darkness when God called darkness over the land. He called it for 3 days. It was 3 days of darkness. The Bible said it was thick. It was a deep darkness. It was dark. over the whole land until the ninth hour. You know, I have a scripture written here. These type of folks represent darkness. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:11 says that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do we even recognize darkness anymore? Church, do we recognize evil anymore? Are we tuned up enough where we recognize what's evil? Because anything, we just allow anything into our lives. It was dark for 3 days, for 3 hours. He said it was dark from the sixth hour until the night. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. It was dark. Well, you imagine what the people was doing for 3 hours in pitch darkness after rebuking the Lord. They may have thought the world came to an end. What would you have thought? You mocking the Lord and all of a sudden it's just lights out. We get nervous when the lights go out at the grocery store. We was in Walmart last year, sitting there, and the lights went out. And folk was just going crazy. And that was just for about 10 minutes the lights was out. Could you imagine? Right now, everything just turned totally dark. And we in here clowning and here mocking God. That's something to think about. Amen. That's something to think about. And at the ninth hour, imagine this all happening. This centurion's watching all these things. We're trying to figure out what convinced the centurion. Listen, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Now, this was a master executioner. You got to understand that there had been at least 30,000 executions during this time. And this man had probably seen hundreds of executions. And when you dying, you do not scream with a loud voice on a cross. Not on a cross. You're nailed to a cross and every breath is costing you everything. Every breath you take could be your last one. And here's Jesus in the ninth hour after hanging on this cross, after being scourged and beaten and humiliated and mocked. And he cries out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Let me say this. I think I'm in the right place. I know some of y'all believe in speaking in tongues. Here's Jesus speaking in a tongue. Okay? He's speaking in a tongue. That's Arabic. But he had the Bible write down that there was an interpreter. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted. And I know that's a sidebar. He had an interpreter. My God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsaken Jesus? Why did he forsake Jesus? Why did he forsake Jesus? Because we serve a holy God who could not look upon sin. And when he turned his back on Jesus, when all this 3 hours period was going on, all the sins of the world were being placed on Jesus. Sometimes we'll be downloading something on our computer. Sometimes it takes hours to do. And we just walk away from it. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was being all our sins. All our sins were being piled up on him. Was being placed on him. And God couldn't even look at him. God said, I can't even look at you. And when God turns his back, there's darkness. And some of us been in darkness. God has turned his back on us. And we ought to be crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of us in here doing some stuff. And we ought to be crying out, why am I doing this? Why am I acting like this? Why am I behaving like this? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The centurion seeing that. Listen, number three. And for number three, I want to turn to Luke 23, the third thing that this centurion seen. Luke 23:39. He's seen these two thieves. He's seen the testimony of these two thieves. and listen at their testimonies, because they ought to ring true in our lives. Because for anyone that's in here that's saved, we have to go through the same identical thing. Maybe identical isn't a good word, but we have to go through the same process. Thank you. Listen. You see a new birth. You see repentance. You see a mission that there are sinners. You see a witness to a sinless Christ. And you see a prayer for salvation. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which hanged, railed on him, saying, one of the biggest ifs in the Bible. If thou be the Christ. This is the one on the left, folks. Okay, this is the thief on the left. This is where you don't want to be. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. That's rather bold, vague. Save thyself and us. All he wanted to do was get off the cross and go back to doing what he was doing. Okay? All he wanted was his arthritis to stop so he could get back on the dance floor. Okay? I watch some of these commercials and, you know, they take some of these pills and now I'm back dancing. See, some of us just want to get off the cross. We go to hospitals and, oh, you know, and if you get me out of this, I'm going to serve you to the day I die. Okay. Listen. But the other. This is the one. See, God didn't give very little information about this one that's going to hell. Okay. See, when you're on your way to hell and you're railing on Jesus Christ, you're railing on the only person that can save your soul, when you on your dying bed and talking like a fool. Let me say this. You served the devil all your life. Do you think for one moment that he's not going to be there on your dying bed?
Amen.
He's going to escort you to hell. He's not going to make a lifetime investment in anybody and let you go off into heaven. Satan don't operate like that. We want to believe that God could come in here and just snatch you up, and he could. But that's not God's way neither. So if you spend 70, 80 years serving the devil, you rest assured he's going to be there visiting you when they say, flatline.
Amen.
Amen. I know that don't sound right in church anymore. We don't like talking about hell. Jesus talked about it a lot. But the other, listen, this is the other. Answering who? He answered his friend. He answered his friend. Listen, he said, answer and rebuked him. He turned away from that lifestyle on the cross. He's showing evidence that he's a changed man. Wait, something's happening. He said, he answered and rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God? Ain't that something? Listen, Proverbs 1:7 says, fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of knowledge. He says, does not thou fear God on your deathbed? Fool, what's wrong with you? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Let me read all that Proverbs to you, because that's just, let me read all that to you. I should know it by heart, but I don't have that kind of memory today. Proverbs 1:7. All right, here it is. Proverbs 1:7. This is what it said. First, I'm going to read what the thief said. He said, does not thou fear God?
Amen.
There you go. That's the beginning. The moment you have a healthy fear of God. Yeah. See, some of us don't fear God. Yeah. And we can come to God's house and play and act a fool and do anything we want to do in the house of God. Mm-hmm. But we don't have no fear of God. We can walk around when the word of God is being preached, when prayer is offered, we can run all out. We know everyone's in church. So we don't fear God. We talk on the phone, text. We writing notes and scribbling. We giggling and goofing off. So we don't fear God.
Yeah.
We don't fear God. We act like we do, but we don't. We can come anytime we want. Come anyway, anyhow. We just come before the presence of God anyway. But if Obama came to town, President Obama come to town and say, we got an invitation to talk to the president, you're going to put your Sunday best on. Oh, you get a chance to go sit with Bishop Murray? Oh, Bishop, we probably kiss his hand. Or his ring. But listen, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a whole lot of folks only want to hear this kind of preaching. Oh, don't be preaching like that. You just like going and lecturing or talking. I want some preaching. I want some preaching. I want to see some cartwheels. I want to see you preach, boy. Close that Bible up and preach. How you preach with a closed Bible? Preach, boy. Listen. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, seeing that you get ready to die. Now this is an object lesson here, people. Just because somebody dying and called a preacher, folks don't want to hear it. They hearts are hardened. Some folk God has just turned over to a reprobate mind so they can't even hear. God has shut up your ears. He done blessed you so many times. You done had 22 surgeries and still. You done been under so much anesthesia, you can't even stay woke. And God done delivered you time and time again. And you still can't serve. Listen, verse 41. After that first step, you gotta look at your lifestyle, turn from it. And he rebuked his lifestyle. He rebuked his friend. So I'm not running with you no more. I got me some new friend. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He said, I got a new friend. He rebuked him, saying, Thou fear God? See, somebody that fear God ain't gonna run with someone that don't. If you fear the Lord, how you gonna run with somebody that don't fear the Lord? How your best friend going to be a thug and you a Christian? 2 Corinthians 6:14 said we ought not be unequally yoked. That don't mean just in marriage. Your best friend shouldn't be a thug. Texting you in church. He had Buffalo Wild Wings watching the game. I got a six pack. I got a pitcher waiting for you. How your best friend going to be in Buffalo Wild Wings at 12 o'clock on Sunday? And you supposed to be saved? I don't know. I'm making sense. Bible said up second, don't be unequally yoked. You are not, first thing you ought to ask them. Are you saved? Because I'm saved. Meet me, boy, they ain't saved. You know the Lord? No, I don't know the Lord. I love him, dog. He's so cute. He's so cute. He carried two guns. Listen. Verse 41. Listen. Second thing you got to do when you get saved, you got to admit the fact that you are a sinner. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds.
Oh boy.
We deserve to go to hell. That's what he's saying, and this centurion is watching all this. He's listening and watching all this. Because he was on the left side of Jesus too. He was saying the same. He would be saying the same thing if he was on the cross. I know this is going through his mind. He said, and we indeed justly. This is the one that's heaven bound. We indeed justly, we deserve to go to hell, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
He said, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, oh, it takes the faith of God to realize that Jesus was out without sin. It takes faith. It takes faith in God to realize that he's without sin. And here's what he's saying. But this man had done nothing amiss. He has done nothing. How did he know that? Oh, I believe God was filling this brother up with the Holy Ghost. He was filling him up.
Amen.
And then he said in verse 42, listen, and he said unto Jesus, oh, if you don't have a King James Bible, you ought to buy one. Because they take this out. Oh, they take this out. Listen, he said unto Jesus, Lord. Oh, he got to be your Lord now. You can't be saved if Jesus is not your Lord. He's got to be your Lord. He said, Lord, remember me. Oh, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. You need to pray that. Lord, remember me. Remember me. I can't do nothing on this cross. I can't pay a tithe. I can't be on the pastoral committee. I can't be a deacon or usher. But when you come into your kingdom, when you come into your kingdom, I'll shine shoes. I'll collect the crowns. Just give me something to do. He said, just give me something to do when you come into thy kingdom. Because we serve a God that we serve a Lord that is going to come into a kingdom. And this dying thief knew that. And God answers his prayer. See, God will answer that prayer. The Bible said, we confess
our sin. Come on.
He's faithful and just. Oh, listen. If we listen, I have to read it. I just don't like butchering scripture. I just have to read this. Listen. You want to pray a prayer to God, remember that God hears and he'll remember you. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord. See, you got to have Lord in front of Jesus. You got to have Lord in front of Jesus. But there's a whole lot of Jesuses out there. Oh, there's a whole lot. Listen, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This thief knew that he was going to die and be raised. How did he know it? I don't know how he knew it, but he knew it. But he knew it. He said, when thou comest in your kingdom, because I know you're not standing in the ground. I know you're not standing in the ground. That's what he said. I know you're not standing in the ground, Lord. I know you're not standing in the ground. And Jesus said unto him. Didn't say both of them. No, don't miss that. Okay, don't miss. He said unto him, the one on the right. Not the one on the left. Jesus had nothing to say to him. She answered a fool. You don't answer a fool. You go talk to the Lord like a fool, he won't answer you. Some of our prayers are foolish. We don't get answered because they're foolish. Okay? Listen. This is what he says. He says, unto him, verily, verily, truly, I say unto thee, making sure he understood that he wouldn't talk to the other one. The other one just sitting over there, listen, what about me? Listen. He said, unto him, I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Listen, folks. God answers that prayer. He answers that prayer. He will answer it over and over again. He will answer it till you call out and believe in your heart.
Come on now.
He will answer that prayer. See, that's what we want to be. We want to be in paradise. So we look at the testimony of the two thieves. But then something else happened. And now I want to move to Matthew. Because I want to talk about what this centurion seen. And I know. We're doing all right. Look at Matthew 27. Look at Matthew 27, because this is so interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you. Matthew 27, we're talking about what this centurion seen. What he seen. What convinced him that this was the Son of God. Look at verse 27, 50. Chapter 27, verse 50. Listen to what it says.
Come on now.
And Listen, Jesus, verse 50, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now that's something interesting there. There's something interesting there because the second time, the first time they offered him a wine mixed with myrrh. Okay, y'all remember that? And he denied it. He refused it because that was a narcotic. That was a narcotic, a painkiller. And he said, I don't want that. But this time, if you back it up and go to verse 48 of Matthew, and it says, straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him. Okay? Now, what they're giving him now is a stimulant. They're giving him a stimulant now, and this is what the centurion is seeing. Wait a minute. I've never seen someone dying refuse morphine, but take a stimulant that's going to make their body more. But God. Because he wanted to clear his throat. He wanted to clear his throat. So he getting ready to shout the victory. He getting ready to shout the victory. Listen. He getting ready to shout the victory. I remember when President Obama, when all the votes was counted, there was some shouting going on. There was some shouting going on. It's over. It's finished. It's finished. I remember Tiger Woods winning his first Masters, and you could see him with the screaming. It's over. Oh, but Jesus, this is what he said. And when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost.
Yes, he did.
Listen, folks, you don't cry with a loud voice. You don't cry with a loud voice after hanging on the cross for 6 hours. No, you don't. Listen, and when he yielded up the ghost, things start happening. In verse 51, it said, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. You know what was going on in Jerusalem at this time? These priests was making their offerings. This was the evening time offering. So they would have been behind this veil. So folks say, well, how did they know that the veil had split? Because these priests came running and saying, the veil of the temple had been rent. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. There was no more offering for sin. No more offering necessary. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it
white as snow.
No more offerings, no more killing sheep and lambs and goats. All the Jewish ceremonial laws had been done. It's finished. It's finished. And he said, it's finished. Then Matthew said, not only that, all the offerings were done. And then in verse 52, and as I close, he said, and the graves were open. Okay? Hold on now. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. And the graves were open.
Oh, come on.
In many bodies.
Come on.
Of the saints which slept arose. Up from the grave, he arose. See, God had to put the bodies of the saints. Because a whole lot of folk ain't rising. Did y'all miss that? Many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to church. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. He said he went to a holy place. Is that what it said? They said he went to a holy city and appeared unto many. They didn't go and appear unto lost folks. They went to the church and they went to the house of God and appeared to the saints and said, this is real. That's something to shout about.
That's
in verse 53. And came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Oh, Lord. The centurion seen it all, verse 54. And now when the centurion, oh, he probably was just like, whoa, what is going on? Earthquake, bells, rocks, rent, darkness. And look what he said. Look what he said. And he said, now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. He 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 was the Son of God. And he's still the Son of God. And he's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back. He's coming back with all power. He's not coming back as a little baby. He's coming back as a Lion of Judah. And he's looking for his folks. And now I want to be numbered with them. Ray sang, Ray played a song. He said, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. When the saints come marching in. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for paying it all. We thank you for washing us whiter than snow. Father God, we thank you for calling us out of our lost condition. We thank you. We thank you for saving us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and you quickened us. Shook us up. We thank you for your power, Father God. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for filling us with your Holy Ghost, giving us the power to live for you. For we was on our way to hell, Father God, and we was happy to go. We knew nothing. We were lost. We were blind. We was in darkness, Father God, but we thank you. You are so wonderful. You are so good. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for our loved ones that you're watching now that's gone on before us. Father God, we just can't wait to get with them on that day. Oh, Father God, we pray today, Father God. We pray, Father God, that just like this centurion, Father God, that you would just show us, show some lost soul here today, Father God, that he truly is the Son of God. Father God, don't let us be like Thomas, Father God. Don't let us doubt and doubt and doubt, because we know, Father God, that Satan is the author of confusion. And if we are confused about who Jesus is, we are hellbound. Make it so clear to us, Father God. Make it so clear to us, Father God, that he is who he said he is. And let us know, Father God, let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that hell is real. And without a Savior, Father God, we are in trouble. Yeah. Father God, we pray for our young people, Father God, today. Those that are here, those that sang today, Father God, let them understand what it means. Let them go home and take them lessons and study them. And let them know that they need to have Jesus deep down in their hearts. Let them know, Father. Father, again, we pray, Father God. We pray, Father God, for our visitors today. Father God, bless them, Father God. They've been so wonderful, and they've had such a glorious weekend. Let them leave this place, Father God, and glorify you all the way back to Chicago.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we pray for those that have heard the word today, Father God. We ask that you would just minister to them. Minister to them today, Father God. Let them know that Jesus is real. And as we continue this Passion Week, as we go into Friday and Saturday and Sunday, Father God, let us be energized to come out to the house of God. Let us be like those saints that rose from the dead and want to rush to the holy city and be together with believers and tell them, I was once dead. Everyone in here that's saved was once dead in sleeping in their graves. We were dead. How could you say that you're alive and not go to the holy city? Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. The doors of the church are open. Amen. 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 The doors of the church are open.
There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus.